hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and fought and died to keep. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Some squirrely guy who claims he just don't believe in fight. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting in a fought and died to keep. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and fought and died to keep. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's the name of this program here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Well, lots more news and views for our people. And, of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia, New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Well, I was accompanying a friend of mine for a medical procedure at a hospital in the interior of British Columbia, and I noticed, and not for the first time, all over the hospital, signs like this. Signs in the waiting room, signs where you go and register for procedures in a particular wing of the hospital. Here's what the sign says. Violence, foul language, and abusive behaviors are not acceptable. Verbal threats or acts of violence will not be tolerated and may result in removal from this facility and or prosecution. Okay, as with many things, this contains an element of truth, or I should say, that makes some good sense. Yes, of course, nobody wants violence in hospitals. We don't want patients or people are coming in and beating up nurses or doctors or whatever, or duking it out with each other. But wait a sec, do you need a sign to say that? It's already against the law. You know, if I haul off and punch a doctor or somebody slaps a nurse or whatever, I mean, that's already against the law. And, you wouldn't need a sign, let's say, when you go to a supermarket or a bar or a drugstore to tell you that, would you? Foul language. Okay, tell me what foul language is. Well, you turn on many sitcoms or dramas and you'll hear the F word, you'll hear, shit and so on and so on. There was a time when, and I think this actually goes back to Gone with the Wind, and boy, does that ever date me. Not that I was around when it came out, but where a female character, instead of using the F word, said fiddlesticks or so on. But so what is foul language. Well, the delightful thing is it's just like that politically correct term. It's inappropriate. What does that mean? What it means is that the person who utters that phrase doesn't like it. But it doesn't give me any guideline as to what I can say or not say. And abusive behaviors. Well, what's abusive behavior? I don't know. But none of those are acceptable. I thought, wait a sec, what is this place? This isn't John's house. This is a public hospital that we all pay for through our taxes. How dare they talk to me like an adult, wagging their bony finger at me? Who actually goes into a hospital except on real business? You go because you're ill. You go because you're assisting somebody who is ill. Or you go because you're visiting somebody who is ill. I don't know many people who go to hospitals just to hang out. So you're going there on serious business. I don't think as an adult I need to be told that violence is not acceptable. And I suspect those people, the very rare individual who might resort to violence, is not going to be deterred by a sign. Okay, foul language. You know what this really is? It's intimidation. You're in here, you shut up. That's what it really means. Or abusive behavior. Well, I could see why one person might have wanted to engage in such behavior today. That person might have been me. The person I accompanied to the hospital had 10 minutes to spare before the appointment. That's good. But you don't go right to the area of the hospital where that procedure is to take place. You have to register. Oh, yeah, very important. You register. Well, the woman conducting the registration was working so fast, she was nearly going backwards. In other words, she wasn't working fast at all. I've never seen anybody type so slowly on her computer keyboard. I don't know, the procedure is you identify yourself, they swipe your health card, they make a few notes, and then they give you another card which directs you down to wherever the procedure is to take place. Anyway, it took a long time. It took nearly 20 minutes to go through four people. Now, my friend ended up being late. Now, not very late, but we were both very worried that that procedure might be canceled because in this other part of the hospital, they might well say, well, look, this person didn't show up for their appointment, so we will cancel that appointment. It didn't happen, but it could have happened. But if I had used any bad language or even perhaps raised my voice, well, can't we hurry this along or can't somebody else come along assist in the, I might well have violated their prohibition against foul language or abusive behaviors. You see, what this does is it shelters staff, really, if they want, from any criticism. Ah, another criticism. The regular, usual parking lot, parking areas, for especially for people who are not very mobile, they're handicapped for one reason or another. All being gone, they're all fenced off and they're doing something or other with them. So where I parked, I was rightly informed by a member of staff, was in the doctor's area. And I would be ticketed if I didn't move my car out of there, lickety-split. Well, I first of all, I had to get my friend into the hospital. And, the doors only open one way, but some staff member came away, I guess, for a smoke, let me in. So I ran to the other end of the hotel and got a wheelchair, got trundled across the hospital back to the door and got out and got my friend. We found another member of staff who opened the door and we managed to deke around to where this my friend had to be. Then I had to go out, move the car and all that. I did make some mild complaints to several of the male staff members who provided me with some directions. He did not take them, but I said, well, what is this? the parking is all gone. Where do we park? Well, he directed me farther down the street. Well, that'd be okay with for me. I'm mobile. But what about for my handicapped friend? Anyway, and I thought, I said, well, you know, who made this decision? Oh, well, it's not our doing. Parking is handled by some ABC corporation. That's right. It's typical Canada. Nobody's responsible. That's right. Nobody says, yeah, I made those decisions, and to hell with you. Let you hop or crawl. No. It's never anybody's. It's somebody else's responsibility. So that's you're encouraged to, well, don't say anything. Well, I don't buy this. Don't say anything. That is, of course, what bureaucrats and tyrants have always wanted. You know, do what we want, and you can lump it. Oh, yes, and you better lump it very quietly. Foul language or abusive behaviors. Oh, what's abusive behaviors? I'll tell you what, another of my pet peeves, and that is hospitals that charge parking at all. I'll tell you why. Because, as I mentioned before, virtually nobody voluntarily goes to a hospital. You go there because you've got business there, and it's usually not very pleasant business. Why do you go to the hospital? Well, you are sick yourself, which is not very good, or you're accompanying somebody who is sick, and you're there to assist or support them, or you are visiting somebody who's sick. So you don't go to hospitals for fun. And my argument is they shouldn't be charging at all. I mean, all things being equal, for parking. It really is. It's adding punishment to people that are already suffering. Anyways, had I advanced that view too forcefully, well, I might have been engaged in abusive behavior. Now, of course, I'd be careful not to use vulgar language, or at least try to. Anyway, here's the latest from Alison Chablot. Alison is a singer and satirist in England. She's a chanteuse. She did the singing engagement on a number of crews and so on. And this is her latest comment. During my 12-month ban from social media, I was nevertheless able to read, she was banned there by a judge's order, news and updates on Facebook. Having used Facebook more or less intensively over the last decade, then transitioning to Twitter until I was perma-banned in 2016, I'm fairly used to being able to distinguish between real people and fake sock or puppet accounts, with the exception of, she mentions, a spy who tried to cause her a lot of trouble. Anyway, one particular account belonged to a supposed Russian doll, Irina Zvenigova. The O, as opposed to an A at the end of the name, is a bit of a giveaway. A is feminine name ending. And that came to my attention. For an obvious sock account, the list of notable friends is quite impressive, thus pricking my curiosity to research further. Since my ban ended, I've teased Irina on a couple of occasions, after coming to the conclusion that she's in fact a guardian scribbler, Suzanne Moore. Yesterday, I confronted her directly, and without wishing to sound too boastful, think I did quite well. She's now deleted the entire thread, which further suggests I'm 100% correct. Writing a weekly column can hardly be enough to get by in a metropolitan liberal Hackney, especially given all the begging messages that pop up every time we click on a ground piece. Remember, when MI5 forced Alan Resbringer to physically smash up his computer hard drives after the WikiLeaks collateral murder tapes were released, it seems now all is forgiven, and recent reports proclaim that ground, now under the leadership of Uber Zionist Friedland is again collaborating with UK intelligence services. I suggest this little sideline is how the likes of Moore get by. They pose as some attractive foreigner pro-Brexit female, spread national Zionist propaganda, and try to bait those on the radical right. In the end, Irma, a.k.a. Moore, had no argument other than personal slurs and the usual people like you, conspiracy theorists, blah, 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 before I unfriended her. So that's a kind of an interesting little report from the... excuse me. Internet battlefield. Well, I'm, as I mentioned before, in the Okanagan, that's in the interior of British Columbia. And one of the items from the local paper, which caught my eye, is a picture of a number of people in green t-shirts. And one of them is, some of them are carrying signs like Canadian climate crisis. Oh, I don't think we have a climate crisis. Less meat equals less heat. Okay, those are points of view. I think they're a little bit nutty, but unfortunately, it wasn't just a point of view. Activists blocked the busy intersection on Highway 97 at Victor Street and Bernard Avenue to protest a rib fest on Saturday. Oh, so they're blocking the street. It was no coincidence that 80 members of Kelowna Climate Save blocked downtown intersections Saturday carrying less meat equals less heat signs while Ribfest drew crowds in City Park. So these grim killjoys didn't want these folks going to the Ribfest. In intervals of 7 minutes, the activists blocked traffic at Bernard Avenue and Richter Street in front of the Interior Savings Credit Union, which is the Ribfest main sponsor. The protesters also stopped traffic on Highway 97 at Richter Street. There's no debate anymore. Animal agriculture is killing this planet, polluting our air, destroying our forests, using insane amounts of water, land, and resources, and emitting more greenhouse gas emissions than all transportation combined, said a Kelowna Climate Save organizer who identified herself only as Mika. I love these people. They want to rule our lives. They're making preposterous generalizations, but can't use my full name, Mika. Quote, we need to eliminate animal products from our diets for any of us to have a future. So long as we keep consuming meat, dairy, and eggs, our climate goals will be out of reach, this Mika said. Meanwhile, Ribfest, five blocks away from the protest at City Park, attracted 27,000 people over 5 days. On Monday, Ribfest circulated a news release declaring this year's event the best yet. There's some more local stuff in there. Okay, the wild accusation that agriculture is killing the planet. Okay, and what would you have us do? Graze on grass, Mika? Well, that might be difficult. Our stomachs are not designed for that. So what's she saying here? Animal agriculture. Okay. It's killing the planet, polluting the air, destroying our forests, using insane amounts of water, land, and resources, and emitting more greenhouse gases than all transportation combined. It's gotten to the point that there are some extreme environmentalists that blame cow farting for a lot of methane in the air. But is that harmful? Is that harmful? We're told that one of the results of the expansion of human population, particularly in North America, is the near disappearance of the once huge buffalo herds. Well, do you think they weren't farting? Of course they were. So if we had less meat, there'd be less heat. That's highly questionable. I'll tell you why. Because that equates greenhouse gas emissions with increasing heat on the planet. The problem is, that's not the cause. And, you know, we've been over this before, but I think it's well worth a little trip down memory lane. Over the past thousands of years, the Earth's climate has warmed up and cooled off, warmed up and cooled off. 10,000 years ago, there was an ice age, the last ice age. And some of the ice extended quite far down into North America. It gouged out the Great Lakes. Okay, but then it warmed up. And why was that? Well, was that because our ancestors, the Indo-Europeans, were tooling around in Mercedes-Benz's, gobbling up lots of diesel, and they have a lot of cars and airplanes fueled by gasoline, and were they powering power plants with lots of coal, putting a lot of carbon dioxide into the air? You missed that in history class? You played hooky that day? Oh, well, no, it didn't happen. Okay, so explain why the Earth warmed up. Oh, okay. Well, okay, fast forward, let's say the last 2,000 years. We know that sometime in the early Middle Ages, somewhere around 900 or so AD, the Earth warmed up again. And it warmed up for the next 400-500 years. That's one of the reasons the Vikings were able to punch their way across the North Atlantic to the Faroe Islands and then on to Iceland and Greenland, which was, in those days, there was some green. And North America, and that's another story. On Baffin Island, we have found sheep dung, which meant there was grass. There's no grass there today. Okay. Question, why did the Earth warm up somewhere around the year 900 AD? Again, were there jet airplanes blasting around, huge flocks of cattle farting into the air, automobiles generating carbon dioxide because they were burning oil, or trucks that, no, of course, that wasn't happening. Okay. Well, why? The Earth cooled off. And then again, in fact, around the time of Shakespeare, it was so cold that the Thames River froze. It doesn't freeze today. And then it warmed up, and then it cooled off. Well, then, what is the reason? It's quite clear it wasn't people burning carbon dioxide, or creating carbon dioxide through burning fossil fuels. Well, then what? Well, the what is something over which we have no control unless you want to say a prayer. And that is sunspots, or to put it broadly, big explosions on the sun. When there are more of these, the Earth heats up. When there are fewer, it cools down. So having cattle, cows in the field, beef cows in the field farting, your automobile creating carbon dioxide through the internal combustion engine, a coal-powered electrical plant, this has no effect. The carbon dioxide, in fact, is actually good for plants. Now, there may be an argument in some cases about pollution. That's a different story. Well, anyway, these well-meaning, I don't know if they're well-meaning, but these people who didn't even have the courage to use their own names, trying to preach at us. And, you know, as in so many cases, it's always with a wagging finger of guilt. You're going to destroy the planet, but I'm a good person because I don't eat meat. Fair enough. Don't eat meat if you want to. If you want to be anemic, that's your business. Don't tell me what to do. Anyway, here's a little bit of an update, which, as usual, for a Canadian crime story, doesn't tell you what you need to know. Judges rule that Jugar Kun, no, I'm not using a word close to the N-word. This is K-H-U-N. Jugar Kun is ineligible for parole. One of the men convicted of conspiring to murder gangster Jonathan Bacon in Kelowna 8 years ago won't be getting out of jail anytime soon. In a three-justice ruling on August 23rd, Jughar Coon's appeal to be eligible for earlier parole was denied. Last year, Coon was sentenced to 18 years in prison for his role in the August 14, 2011 shootings outside the Delta Grand Hotel that killed Red Scorpion gangster Bacon and injured Hell's Angel gangster Larry Amaro and two female friends. Coon's sentence was calculated to 10 years because he was given 8 years credit for having served 5 years and 2 months in pretrial custody. So they give you some more complicated calculations as to how the Canadian courts go about calculating how much time you actually have to serve. At the time of the sentencing, Coon's first possible eligibility for parole was set as half of his sentence due to the boldness and destruction of the planned violent crime and the fact the shooting put many bystanders at risk because it occurred in the middle of the day outside a busy hotel. Generally, a prisoner can apply for parole after serving one-third of their sentence, but in this case, it would have to be one-half. Anyway, so this was appealed, but the appeal was turned down. What I'm curious about is the ethnicity of Jughar Coon. Obviously, third worlder, and in fact, the Red Scorpions were a third worlder. So that was the gang he and his friends were trying to shoot up, or a third world gang. Well, what's his ethnicity? How did he get to Canada? Well, we're not privileged to know that. These are some of the questions that the controlled media, the fake news media, the false news media, keep from us. Now, here's another earnest. Now, this is all about one day's paper. This is a column by John Dorn, and he is a sometime columnist for the Kelowna Courier. Reconciliation demands more. If you have attended any public meeting recently, you have been greeted by the main spokeswoman acknowledging the meeting taking place on the unceded territory of the particular third Indian tribe. I'm curious as to how this seems to become the mandatory way to begin a meeting. Yes, and I'm curious about that too. And I've noticed the same thing. In many cases, it isn't true. The law in the community I live in, the land was bought from Indian tribes several hundred years ago. It wasn't stolen from them. And he goes on to say, this happened on Dominion Day at a picnic in Summerland, British Columbia. Another speaker thanked the Sioux Nation for sharing the land with us. Realistically, the Sioux people are not voluntarily sharing their land, he says. Sharing their land is probably not exactly accurate, though not for the reason he says. The land, in most cases, was bought from these people. It's not a matter of voluntary sharing. The issue of the disgraceful decision by near monopoly a major Canadian sign company which has 59% of the market to rip down signs that they had they'd rented the space to supporters of Maxime Bernier's Canada People's Party, and this sign company is, and I commented on this yesterday, is an absolute disgrace in their cowardice and in their lack of commitment to freedom of speech. Well, this is a commentary by Brian Lilly, who is a writer for the Toronto Sun and a commentator, and he is wondering if the tearing down of these billboards, the attack on free speech may in fact be backfiring. I certainly hope he's right that it is.
So they're taking down the billboards that are all in favor of Maxime Bernier but against mass immigration. How did we get to this point that political viewpoints are censored? If you haven't heard by now, there were billboards placed in different cities across the country. They had Maxime Bernier's face on it. They said, say no to mass immigration. The billboards weren't actually put up by Bernier's People's Party of Canada. They were put up by a third-party group. I believe their name is True North Advertising Corp. Never heard of them, don't know them, disagree with the sentiment of the billboards, but when did we get to this point where a legitimate policy issue you just can't voice your opinion on? Look, my parents are immigrants. My whole family, immigrants to Canada. And I'm not talking hundreds of years ago, I'm talking if I want to trace my family tree, I call my mother. She still has the accent. I believe in immigration. I think that we need more. Do we need to go up to 350,000 like the Liberals are at? I don't know. Do we need to go down to 150,000 like Bernier is calling for? That's probably too few. But we can have this debate. We are all responsible adults. But some people have decided that you can't voice your political opinion in this country if you actually are against what the establishment wants you to say. Most people in this country, you want to look at the polls, there are an awful lot of people across party lines that have at least some concerns when it comes to immigration, and we're being told, shut up. You know what that results in? It results in the type of populism that people keep saying they want to stop. People looking for an outsider that says they'll smash the system. That's what this results in. This will actually make Bernier more popular. It won't make him less popular. It's just like when we decide that you can't have pro-lifers put up their billboards in bus shelters or on buses. We're censoring political speech, and that's not what Canada's about. In fact, it's written within the blessed charter. I mean, free speech goes back far beyond the charter, but it's in the charter, and we're all supposed to value and protect that. So Patterson Outdoor Advertising Group is wrong to be doing this. Bernier may have been wrong to endorse the message of the ad, but it's at least his policy, and we should have the debate. We shouldn't be going for censorship. Unfortunately, in Canada, that's the road we're on, and too many in the media, people who should be defending free speech, are cheering it on. To me, that is a crying shame. Let me know what you think. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, share this video on Facebook, on Twitter, and comment down below.
And that's Brian Lilly, and this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. There's an excellent video up on the internet, and I'm not going to play it because it's mostly visual, but I'm going to describe it. Breaking video, Mexican police battle African illegals fighting to reach the United States. Good for them, and I hope they put a good wailing on these people. Here's the story. The mainstream American media, of course, ignores the story of the African men who've been coming through South America to Mexico to try and reach the United States. This is not immigration, this is an invasion, because it's all single men without women and children. The surge has been going on for longer than this latest increase in illegal immigration, and it's fueled by the message that our borders are wide open, and the same thing could be said about Canada, too. The unbelievable video of the Mexican military police literally fighting African illegals outside an immigration detention center in Tapachula, Mexico, was released by Voice of America. And they said, military police officers clash with migrants from Africa, Haiti, and other countries during a protest in front of an immigration center in Tapachula, Mexico, demanding free transit through the country to reach the United States. Talk about arrogance. You go to another person's country, in this case Mexico, and you demand free free transit to the U.S. border. How did they get to Mexico? Our previous report, Everyone's Goal is to Come to the United States, by Charlotte Cuthbertson. It's amazing that our mainstream media doesn't report on the real invasion from third world countries. It's been reporters like Sidney Hernandez and Charlotte Cuthbertson who are on the ground taking video and interviewing the illegals. The illegals know that they will get a pass into the U.S. if they claim asylum, especially if they have a child in tow. Most of the people are coming for the generous freebies they've heard about from others who've crossed into the United States. They appear to be mostly economic migrants, but being an economic migrant is not an accepted reason for asylum, so they lie. There are plenty of immigration lawyers who coach the illegals on what to say and what not to say to make it into the U.S., and you can say exactly the same thing about Canada. In fact, in so-called refugee hearings in the past, often almost word for word, the same tale of woe has been heard from people from a hypothetical village who've had this or that bad thing happen to them, right down to the made-up details. Quote, credible fear of something in their home country is the accepted cause for asylum. The reason for this whole thing is a sham. The reason this whole thing is a sham is that they cross through several countries before they reach our border. Why haven't they asked for asylum in Guatemala or Mexico? Well, the goodies aren't quite as good there. Charlotte Cuthbertson, this is a tweet, it's inserted into this article. Just watched two groups of Africans from the Congo and Angola cross illegally into Mexico from Guatemala across the Suchiate River on a tube raft. 8 men, 4 women, 6 kids. One guy from Angola said he took a boat to Colombia 10 days, walked through the jungle for 10 days, and spent 2 months getting to Mexico. An Angolan woman said she flew to Panama first. She has a 2-year-old with her. Where are the Mexican troops promised by their president? Charlotte Cuthbertson goes on to say Mexico's foreign minister said the 6,000 troop deployment was complete for the Mexico-Guatemala border, but none have shown up at this busy crossing in southeast Mexico. And you see rubber tube boatloads of these illegals pouring in from Guatemala into Mexico. And she goes on to say, illegals have no problem crossing into Mexico. This morning, Charlotte Cuthbertson reports, a group of Haitians illegally crossed the Suchiate River from Guatemala to Mexico. One man said he traveled via Chile, Peru, Ecuador, Colombia, Panama, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Honduras, Guatemala, Mexico. Others came in via Brazil. Now, they must have a lot of money if they're going like that. The highway checkpoint just south of Tapachula, Mexico, 25 miles drive from the Suchiate River border town of Guatemala. We're told a lot of Central Americans were stopped here this morning. They will likely be deported. If African or Haitian, they're taken to a main detention center for a transit card. This is a crisis the Democrats refuse to address. They're only using these people as political pawns. So that it contained a lot of information that I suspect you didn't know. And, well, why is that? Well, because the lying or censoring lamestream media doesn't want to tell you that. Why not? Because they are, or their owners, very often Jewish, are heavily invested in the invasion. They don't want the law enforced. They support the invasion. They want what's going on. Here's an internet appeal from an outfit called Free Thought. And it's, I think you can support it or subscribe to it, Free Thought. And it's called the Free Thought Project. And if it appeals to you or you'd like to check it out, just go http://thefreethoughtproject.com, all one extended word, thefreethoughtproject.com. And this project says, the alternative media is under attack. Without the inflated and government-subsidized budgets of, this has gone, somehow gone and almost disappeared on me. Let's try it again. We do have problems with our computers. Alternative media is under attack. Without the inflated and government-subsidized budgets of the mainstream, we have to rely on advertising to support our network. However, you can help us by becoming a member. For as little as $3 a month, you'll receive an ad version the site, along with special perks. I won't go into the rest of it. But if you'd like to check it out, why not tap this into your search engine, the freethoughtproject.com, all one long word, the freethoughtproject.com. And this is Paul Prom, and you are on The Fighting Side of Me, here on whatresistanceradio.com. Here is a very interesting commentary on the new man, or sometimes called the brown man. It's idealized by the United Nations as future world citizen, and how this ties in with the diabolical plan of a Austrian aristocrat, Richard Count Coudenhove Kalergi. And if you know who he is, then you are among the informed. If you don't, it's not your fault. Coudenhove Kalergi was an arch-conspirator, and he his diabolical dreams formed the basis for the European Union. So the this thing called the European Union, promoted initially by subterfuge, and has become the European Union of today. This program has as a symbolic figure a man almost with no face. The symbolic figure represents all of us, everyone on Earth, whoever we are, without distinction of any kind, such as race, color, sex, language, real or religion, political or other opinion, national or social origin, property, birth, or any other status. And this is from the United Nations. It's actually from the United Nations Blueprint for Peace, a book that came out in 1951. The authors of the book, which had a foreword by Benjamin Cohen, who was the Assistant Secretary General of the United Nations in those days, had this picture of the new brown world man. Obviously, man standing on the world is the UN ideal of blending all the races of mankind into one composite, raceless, nationless, homeless, characterless, faceless brown humanoid, utterly lost from all heritage and completely subject to the dictates of the master race. The mixed race plan of a Freemason who was married to a Jewess, this was Richard Count Coudenhove Kalergi, he was founder of the Pan-European Union in 1923. Public figures who attended the Pan-Europa Congresses included people like Albert Einstein and Sigmund Freud. Kalergi said, "The man of the future will be a mixed race. The races and classes of today will gradually disappear due to the elimination of space and time and prejudice. The Eurasian Negroid race of the future, similar in appearance to the ancient Egyptians," that's what he thought, "will replace the current diversity of peoples and the diversity of individuals." Yes, and this would only be accomplished in Europe through something people were never told about back in 1950 or 60. That's right, mass third world immigration, which is why people like Angela Merkel are so fanatically in favor of that, and her buddy in globalism, Emmanuel Macron, and successive British leaders. The Jewish U.S. State Department of the time, when the UN Charter came in, and it was spearheaded by Leo Pasvalsky in the writing of the UN Charter. Besides Pasvalsky, many of the UN's top co-founders were Jewish communists, like Harry Dexter Wright, who was in the U.S. cabinet, Harold Glasser, Irvin Kaplan, Nathan Gregory Silvermaster, Victor Perlow, Solomon Adler, David Weintraub, and Abraham G. Silverman. The UN is basically of Marxist origin. Well, this is Paul Fromm here on The Fighting Side of Me, here on What Resistance Radio. Going to take a musical break now, and going to play a couple of tunes from Rhodesian Independence. A wonderful period of time from 1965 to 1979, when white Rhodesia was among the most productive places in Africa. It fought a war against guerrillas sponsored both by Communist China and Soviet Russia, and in many ways aided by Western so-called charities and churches. It was a brave time. It was destroyed, not because of the terrorists on the battlefield, but by betrayal. And of course, that's another story. We'll deal with that again. But here are some songs from Rhodesian independence. And we're going to start off with the last word in Rhodesian is Ian. And that, of course, was their first prime minister and only prime minister, Ian Douglas Smith. The last word in Rhodesian is Ian. And that was Ian Douglas Smith. And here we go. Hope you like it. Well, if we can manage to suppress your cat ad.
R is for the regiments who fight the winning fight. H is for the home fires that the folks are keeping bright. O is for the other ranks and officers as well. D is for the diehards who believe and fight in hell. E is for the enemy that just won't ever win. S is for the spirit of our men that won't grow dim. I is for the independence that we have to shed. And A is for the arms that we will always have to bear. And the first word in Rhodesian is Rhodes. That's a name that everybody knows. It may be as Rhodesian as the flag of white and green, but the last word in Rhodesian is Ian. R is for the regiments who fight the winning fight. H is for the home fires that the folks are keeping bright. O is for the other ranks and officers as well. And D is for the diehards who believe in fighting hell. E is for the enemy that just won't ever win. S is for the spirit of our men that won't grow dim. I is for the independence that we have to share. And A is for the arms that we will always have to bear. And the first word in Rhodesian is Rhodes. That's a name that everybody knows. It may be as Rhodesian as the flag of white and green, but the last word in Rhodesian is Ian. And the first word in Rhodesian is Rhodes. That's a name that everybody knows. It may be as Rhodesian as the flag of white and green, but the last word in Rhodesian is Ian. Last word in Rhodesian is
in. That's a great song. The last word in Rhodesian is in. I've play some more songs from Rhodesia, the great struggle for Rhodesian independence, and when that was crushed by and betrayed by white people. Well, Henry Kissinger and the U.S. government. And the cowardly British, they're the ones who did Rhodesia in. And anyway, this was a this is Rhodesians Never Lie.
Here's the story of Rhodesia, a land both fair and great. On the 11th of November, an independence date. This was much against the wishes of certain governments, whose leaders tried to break us down and make us all repent. But we're all Rhodesians and we'll fight through thick and thin. We'll keep our land a free land, stop the enemy coming in. We'll keep them north of the Zambezi till that river's running dry. And this mighty land will prosper, for Rhodesians never die. send their men to murder, and they can shout their words of hate. But the cost of keeping this land free can never be too great. For our men and boys are fighting for the things that they hold dear, and this land and all its people will never disappear. Cause we're poor Rhodesians, and we'll fight through thick and thin. We'll be proud, land of free land, stop the enemy coming in. We'll keep them north of the Zambezi, the mad rivers running dry. This mighty land will prosper, for Rhodesians never die. We'll preserve this little nation for our children's children too. Once you lay your Peter, no other land will do. We will stand tall in the sunshine with the truth upon our side. And if we have to go alone, we'll go alone with pride. Cause we're poor Rhodesians, and we'll fight through thick and thin. We'll be proud, land of free land, stop the enemy coming in. We'll keep them north of the Zambezi, the black rivers rain dry. And this mighty land will prosper, poor Rhodesians never die. Cause we're
song for Rhodesian independence is about a daring air raid by the Rhodesian Air Force on terrorist bases in Zambia, and this is called Green Leader. Hope you like it. Listen, you have to listen very closely here. Green Leader, this is actual sound footage from the time.
These are the thoughts that run through the sky warrior's mind. He is a man, very special kind. Our wings are a fortress to our land. Today, a special mission's planned. Dear land, today I'll serve thee well. My motherland has gone through hell. No one in the world to heed her. Tomorrow the world will know Green Leader. Fight anywhere and everywhere. Speed and courage and a prayer. Seek and strike, strike from above. Do it for the ones you love. And as our sections now deploy, a minute to run, seek and destroy. Swift to support men and machines. Aspire to achieve our dreams. Rhodesia has no pull
repeat, no quarrel with Zandra or her security forces. We therefore ask you not to intervene or oppose our attack. However, we are orbiting your airfield at this time and are under orders to shoot down any Zambian Air Force aircraft which does not comply with this request and attempts to take off. Did you copy all that?
This is what God would have willed. Kill or see the children killed. My little country cries for peace. No one will hear her case at least. No one in the world to heed her. Tomorrow the world will know Green Leader. No one in the world to heed her. Tomorrow the world will know Green Leader.
Now this is a great, a really great song, and I'm going to end up with something that actually isn't Rhodesia. This is the British South Africa Police. They were a regiment that existed for almost 100 years. They had saw extensive combat in Rhodesia and elsewhere, and this was on their centenary in...
Our goal at Penticton Nissan is to wow the customer from the
in 1989, I believe. The BSAP by John Edmund.
Back in 1889, her regiment was born, and her mounted troopers rode in sunshine and in storm, from Bechuana land to the mighty Zambezi. Known by many names, she was the BSAP. Come ye troopers of old, where'er ye may be, drink a century toast to the BSAP, and we'll sing a couple of bars of the good old Kamakai song. To the BSAP, and the regiment lives on. She has served in war and peace, had glory and has bled, a multi-sided role in the land where she was bred. The guardian of the country, she was always there, like that trooper that was molded on the Morris Depot Square. Come ye troopers of old, where'er ye may be, drink a century toast to the BSAP, and we'll sing a couple of bars of the good old Kamakai song. To the BSAP, and the regiment lives on. Old black boots may march on, reservists may grow old, and far too might have done their very last patrol. Last body on his beat, last airman in the sky, last bee girl on the radio, the legend cannot die. Come ye troopers of old, where'er ye may be, drink a century toast to the BSAP, and we'll sing a couple of bars of the good old Kamakai song. To the BSAP, and the regiment lives on. At the outposts of the world, the regiment lives on. In the land of the silver fern, Australia and Hong Kong, in Britain's misty isles, beneath the American skies, in Africa, her birthplace, the spirit never dies. Come ye troopers of old, where'er ye may be, drink a century toast to the BSAP, and we'll sing a couple of bars of the good old Kamakai song. To the BSAP, and the regiment lives on. To the BSAP, and the regiment lives on. To the
This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Back with you again tomorrow, same time, midnight Eastern Time. The show is repeated at 8 in the morning, 4 in the afternoon. All of those are Eastern Standard Time. And I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Fromm, and you are on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com.
By the center!